You are listening to an edited version of Get Radio's Business Brunch, which airs every Sunday at 11 a.m. on DAB Digital Radio across Oxfordshire and online at getradio.co.uk. For copyright reasons, we cannot play the songs mentioned in the show. But for more info and Business Brunch related content, head over to getradio.co.uk.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson. Sponsored by We Do HR Support. Swap your HR hat for peace of mind with We Do HR Support. From compliance to training, we're your HR department. Explore how at wedo-hr.com.
Good morning, this is Get Radio. Welcome to the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson, owner of Thompson & Terry Recruitment. Every week during the show, I share the stories, the expertise and knowledge of business leaders large and small with you, the listener. And normally I say this week is going to be no different, but this week is going to be a little bit different. On today's show, we're going to be sharing the story of 10 years of running Thompson & Terry Recruitment. And to do that, Rich has kindly joined to present the show, and I'm going to the other side of the table. So, enough from me, and over to you, Rich. Get Radio.
Brilliant stuff. Well, it is great to be on this side of the interview table for this. And I'm really, really pleased that we can shine a light on Ben Thompson and Thompson & Terry Recruitment. A very special birthday happened this the last few weeks, and an amazing milestone for absolutely any business. What we're going to be doing over the course of this show is chatting to Ben and finding out a little bit more about Thompson & Terry Recruitment, about the start, about the planning, about the mistakes that happen, about the successes, of course, and have a little look into the future of Thompson & Terry. So it gives me great pleasure to welcome onto his own show Ben Thompson from Thompson & Terry Recruitment.
Well, no, thanks so much for having me, Rich. And yeah, it's nice to be the other side of the table. So hopefully you're a bit nicer to me than I am to some of our guests with my my tough questions. I don't know about that.
Well, look, let's start. Should we start before the beginning? I quite like starting before the beginning. I think that's a really good place to go. Obviously, Thompson & Terry Recruitment has celebrated 10 years, but let's go before 10 years. Let's go to Ben Thompson before Thompson & Terry Recruitment. Why recruitment? What were the thoughts? What was kind of the ambition to kind of start it?
Yeah, so I think my journey was probably quite a unique one. Probably naivety, maybe a little bit of bad luck, and maybe just a bad situation. So for those who don't know, I played rugby at a pretty decent level. Planned to be a professional rugby player, signing for a big professional club at 18. Was then hit by a car, doing 80 miles an hour, was in a wheelchair for a year, and brain damage. So I think that really changed my plans, and I think that I looked at university. I didn't want to go to university in a wheelchair, so I deferred and started by selling. I've always been pretty confident. I've always been pretty loud. I bet that surprises you, doesn't it, Rich?
Surprises no one, Ben. No one.
I started selling, initially payday loans, which is in a cold calling call center, which has probably killed all of my credibility to most listening. But I enjoyed it. I had a brief spell living in Moscow, which again was a unique journey. Came back to Oxfordshire, launched a voucher site in Oxfordshire, and then went to work for a radio station. And that's where I met you. So really, my journey before recruitment was nothing to do with recruitment, but I think that it was very much probably unplanned. And I think that it was very much, I enjoyed selling and I was pretty good at it, and then went and got a better sales job and then a better sales job and a better sales job. But I think I always had that interest for business. So I, at a very, very young age, I think when most kids are asking for a rabbit, I asked for chickens. And at one point I had 18 chickens out of my parents' 3-bed semi garden, and I was selling eggs, and then it became uncool and I sold my chicken business, in inverted commas, sorry, HMRC, all of the marketing material that I made on my 1998 computer and all of the contacts and the chickens themselves. So I always had that, I guess, interest in business, but did I ever have the plan to set up a recruitment business? Absolutely not. No, I really didn't.
From all of that, one thing that is quite clear, and knowing you for a long time as well, it is being incredibly driven. And as you mentioned, from the things that set you back from one career path to another, you mentioned your accident, but then also being driven to be in sales as well. Although you say that, you know, maybe credibility has gone working in call centers and doing those kind of stuff, you absolutely have to be driven. You have to be, okay, that wasn't the sale, but the next one will be. Okay, that didn't go quite so well, but the next one, that's where we'll get somewhere. And that's been with you, you know, for a long, long time. So kind of having all of that background, the opportunity to start up Thompson and Terry Recruitment, I knew, even, you know, people listening to the show, when you put your mind to something, it was going to succeed. It was going to last 10 years. But right back at the start, how did you get it off the ground? How did things kind of become Thompson and Terry Recruitment?
Yeah. So I was working in radio when the plan came together. And I think that, being really honest, I love my job in radio. I really, really did. And I think that one of my clients during my time in that job worked in recruitment and was running another business and said to me, "Ben, do you know what? I'm having a really frustrating day. I just really wish I owned the recruitment business because I think we could do a much better job." And that client conversation went on and on and on. And by the end of the conversation, I think it was very clear that Mike really knew how to run a business. And I think he's still really great at that. And I think he really knew how to recruit. But the nature of the agency that he had worked for is two things. One, they had a lot of long-standing clients. He had never worked in sales or never had a sales job, and probably not what he wanted to do. And I think secondly to that is, I think that we both really shared the values in terms of, if you work for a traditional recruitment agency, or 98% of traditional recruitment agencies, or 99%, your job is to register as many candidates as you possibly can. You have a big book of maybe 200 or 300 or 400 candidates who are registered with you. And then when you get a job on, you send the 5 closest CVs to that client and say, "Would you like to employ one of them, or would you like to interview some of them?" And we thought, you know what, that was broken. Wouldn't it be really sensible if we could set up a recruitment business that was really focused on, we wouldn't waste candidates' time registering unless we had a job for them. We would, any job we worked on, we would understand the business. We would really understand their values, understand their aspirations for the role, understand really what do they want to achieve in that person, both now and in the future. And then go and find that person and be really transparent to them about the good, the bad, and the ugly. And then meet the candidate or meet the client. And that in principle will be a match 9 times out of 10. And that was really our philosophy in the early stages. And I think every recruiter that I spoke to about that plan when setting up the business said, "That is ridiculous. That's not going to work. You're not going to work in the market doing that way." And 10 years later, I think we've just got to that point where we can say, yeah, it does work. And it's been really, really successful within all of our clients. So that was the early vision. Yes, it's been a roller coaster along the way, but I think that opening value is really why I agreed to set up the business with Mike, and I think was really what we've built everything off in branches.
Having that unique selling point of doing something a little bit different to the norm, mm-hmm. and being so driven into it and seeing a vision and seeing a future for that is definitely a testament to the success of Thompson and Terry, and 10 years down the line, it is a phenomenal thing to kind of have a milestone at, which is absolutely incredible. I know we're going to sort of move on a little bit on the show to kind of chatting about the sort of setup, chatting about the successes and the mistakes along the way as well, because, you know, we're not all of us have got a perfect track record, but it's super, super interesting to hear the formulations and that early, early stage of Thompson and Terry recruitment. My favorite bit of the show today might just be this, where I surprised Ben, as he does with all of his guests on the show, to say, look, you're on the show, you're chatting about your business, but this is a radio show as well. It is about that time where I ask Ben to pick his favorite song. I think I know what it might be already.
Rich, I've really been struggling with this because for those who listen regularly, I've had four song choices in the time of owning Thompson and Terry Recruitment and in the time of hosting this radio show. And three of the times I've gone for Sweet Caroline.
Yes, you have. Yes.
And I was going to go for a different song choice here, but Oxford are in the championship for the first time in 25 years. I've not had a song choice since they got promoted at Wembley. So I'm really sorry. We're going to have to go Sweet Caroline. And please, 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 I really, really hope Oxford United get lots more wins this season and we can sing it lots more times.
Oxfordshire Station, get radio.
Well, welcome back to the Business Brunch. This week with me sitting in the hot seat, Rich from Get Radio, but chatting to Ben Thompson from Thompson and Terry Recruitment. A very, very special anniversary has just occurred for Thompson and Terry Recruitment, 10 years in the game. So it felt only fair that we literally swing the tables around and get Ben on the show and answering a few questions that we've got. Now, in the first part of the show, we were listening to Ben and his journey into recruitment, which wasn't a particularly usual one. He had not worked in it before. He'd worked in sales and actually had aspirations of becoming a rugby player that were kind of derailed. So here we are at day one at Thompson and Terry Recruitment, and lots of firsts are going to be happening for you. Ben, tell us a little bit more about, well, all of these firsts, ranging from first meetings to first clients to first candidates to first networking.
Yeah, no, thanks, Rich. For me, I think there were, as you rightly said, there were a lot of firsts. And I think that our original plan for the business was Mike would lead on filling jobs and I would lead on getting jobs and looking after clients. And I think that worked quite early on. So I remember my first ever client meeting. It was a big well-known letting agent in North Oxford. And I remember I walked into the client meeting, met the head of HR, and she said to me throughout this meeting, I really did feel as if I was getting grilled, which rightly so, we're a brand new business. And one of the questions I was asked is, so have you worked on jobs like this before? And I said, well, no, we haven't. But she said, oh, so what sort of jobs have you worked on? And I was just really honest. And I just said, being really honest, none. And somehow we walked out with the work and we filled the job. And that person did really, really well there and stayed long term. But I still remember like some of the questions in that meeting. I think we had a robust business plan. I think we had done competitor analysis. I think we had a strong vision, but we hadn't really thought about how are you going to overcome that objection. And I think we had that quite early on for probably the first 3 or 6 months. You're a very new business, but then it became a lot easier because then you can say at a networking event, we've worked on these jobs, we filled these jobs. And then a year later, you can start to talk about stats, which again, it was is ever evolving. And I remember my first networking event. And honestly, I think if I look back at my pitch now, it was absolutely terrible. I think it was more, hi, I'm Ben from Thompson and Terry Recruitment. We're a recruitment business and we'd like to fill your jobs for you. Thanks so much. Hopefully the ground will swallow me up now. And in all seriousness, I think that for me, I think that the biggest first was pressing the button. And I think that I speak to so many people that have great business ideas and probably something that you can relate to, Rich, is pressing that button to take a PAYE salary to be able to go and do your own thing and have a new brand and have that identity is just so exciting. But actually, that first call, that first time on the radio. I think that for those who follow Get Radio will see that video of you the first time. I think that was the really special first. And I think that I can think back to first failures as well, in terms of, you know, when we did things wrong. And actually I always remember the first rejection. So I think I might be wrong with this stat, but I'm sure the first three CVs we sent got the job, and I was like, God, this recruitment game is easy, isn't it?
This is easy, isn't it? Yeah.
And then I always remember our first no. And she's such a lovely lady. Actually, I saw her come up on LinkedIn the other day, and I just remember that first no. And actually, I think that I took that really personally. I was, what, you know, we thought that she was perfect, and as you get the feedback and then you start to tweak. So yeah, lots of firsts. And I think that it really, I think the trick was to really stay grounded about the first. And I think that Mike Terry really, really was able to be that, I guess, level head. Because I think at that point I was still, you know, like an excitable boy in a sweet shop.
You mentioned right at the start of that about honesty. And I think every business listening to that would like to be that. Mm. But doing that in practice and being in that field, I take back to my experience of trying to get sales before my radio career. My feedback from recruiters were, Rich, you're being too honest. Mm. You're being too honest. And I was like, well, how can I say that I can do telesales? Because I've never done it before. Mm. They're like, well, you have to, you know, and it is about that honesty and kind of people appreciate that, and people are willing to take a risk on those honest people, like you say with that letting agency, that actually your honesty probably got you over the line there. And if you had floundered around and gone, oh, well, we've put these people, they'd have seen through that. And actually your honesty has built your integrity from that first place, and then having you know, you can call it luck or you can call it whatever you want, but you know, putting your first candidates into the first places that they get to shows actually that you've done your due diligence and that you actually have got the right people and you have worked out the right people in the right places. So it kind of all forms. But as any business owner knows, you need to have that kind of, you need to take those failures on the chin as much as you need to pat yourself on the back for all of the good times and what have you. Was there a moment in the early stages where you felt, okay, no, I think we're doing the wrong thing? Because I want to sort of get that mirror up to all businesses out there, because you can talk about the good times and when you ask me questions about Get Radio, you focus on those good times. But there are those times where you look in the mirror and go, not sure about this. Not sure. Did that ever happen with you?
Yeah, definitely. Two stand out in particular. So very early, Thompson and Terry, and I think it's quite the norm for recruitment. The vast majority of agencies that I've spoken to do this. You will interview a candidate, which every agency should do. But I think most agencies will rewrite the CV. So they won't lie on the CV. The vast majority of agencies won't lie on the CV, but you will put it into your format. You will take their contact details off. You will correct any sort of small errors and put it into the format. And I remember, I would remember a few months in, we had interviewed somebody that was great. They interviewed really well, but their CV was just, it wasn't even necessarily badly written. It was just in a bad order. And to be honest, we hadn't made that many edits. We had just changed the format and had put their most recent job at the top when it had been at the bottom. And I remember the business owner that we sent it to said, I'm sure I've seen that CV a couple of years back. I'm sure I've seen this person, but their CV, but I didn't interview them back then, or I didn't invite them in for an interview because their CV was really, really badly written. But I'm really great that they've corrected their CV. And at that moment, I remember picking up the phone to Mike, because we were both working from home at the time, and saying, we shouldn't be editing CVs. Like, this is the wrong thing to do. And Mike said, but every recruiter does that. It's really important that you don't lie and you're transparent. You know, that's our values. But actually, it's so much easier for the hiring manager to see every CV they get to be, you know, the same format and easy to read. And I just said, no, I don't think that is a good thing. And I went back to the client and I said, look, being really honest, we do edit CVs and we put them in this order. But actually, I think based on your feedback, I think it's really important that going forward, we use the original CVs. And to this day, probably nine years and 9 months, I would say, we've never edited a CV again. And actually, I think clients really like that they get the original CV with the contact details. And if they want to pick up the phone to the candidate, they can, albeit we talk through the process. And actually, we're sent 20 interview notes, like a real essay. I think there's always a joke with our clients about a Ben essay where we go into really detail and explain all of the story behind that. And I think that for me, that was the point where I looked at and I thought, no, we just can't do this anymore. This just doesn't fit with where we're trying to get to. And I think the other story was on the complete flip side. So a business probably quite early on, and they were, I won't give too much away about the business, but they were they had a bit of a reputation, let's say, for doing things that are a little bit dishonest. And actually, after I found out that actually they had had a bit of a legal battle with the previous radio station that I worked for. But anyway, nevertheless, this is a really common thing that you hear in law school. So recruitment agency sends a candidate to an employer. The employer says, no, we're not hiring the candidate, and then picks up the phone to them directly a week later and says, we've got another job for you. There you go. And that happened to us. And we just didn't know what to do. And in those days, we were working from our bedroom, charging 10%. So we were playing the price game a little bit. And we only found out secondhand because the guy that we had sent was in my year at school, and I happened to be friends with him on Facebook and just saw that he had been employed. So I messaged a business and I said, I thought you had rejected this person. And they said, oh no, he applied for a job through our Facebook. I said, oh no, it doesn't work like this. Like, here's the terms. So sorry if I wasn't clear or you know, played the innocent. They said, oh, well, no, we're not paying you for that. But thank you for all your efforts. And I picked up the phone to somebody I met through networking. And I said, is this right? It doesn't seem quite right. Like, shall I just maybe ask if they cover our admin costs? And he said, no, Ben. He said, you've got clear terms, they're signed. Go for them. And we took them to small claims court. And we won, and we got actually about double what the fee would have been through the judge. Not that we were asking for that. But actually, in reality, I think that early moment of that case, I remember saying to Mike, I said, I just don't want conflict. I don't want legal battles. This wasn't what running a business was all about. But I think the support of, and I don't mind naming the solicitor because he's a lovely guy, Derek Padell. I think the support of a friend I'd met through networking really early on was maybe that naivety, I guess, barrier that I needed and that support. So I think that there's two very different things there. And I think from that point, I think I really accepted that we're going to be really ethical, but actually we're probably not going to be walked over. And actually, you know, we want to be paid for our work, and, you know, we do a good job, but actually, you know, this is the agreement and let's stick with it. So I think those are the two really big times where I thought, no, we can't do that anymore.
No, it's really fascinating because I think you're definitely holding up a mirror to absolutely all businesses out there, and having those conflicts and having those issues that can be spread around anyone that has set up and started a business. There'll always be that first rejection. There'll always be that first legal wrangle. There'll always be that issue that comes at you and kind of peers around the corner, the bumps in the road that we call them. But it's how, you know, it's about how you deal with them, and it's about how you kind of see yourself and put yourself in those situations and move forward. And we are going to move forward this and conversations that we're going to be having over the next few parts of the Business Brunch. We're going to be talking about the successes and also the mistakes. And I use that in inverted commas. You could see that on the video, but maybe not on the radio that kind of Ben's made, because journeys are full of them. Journeys are full of those mistakes and successes. And after this, we're going to be dealing with a few of them here on the Business Brunch here at Get Radio.
Discussing topics that impact local businesses and their owners, this is the Business Brunch. sponsored by We Do HR Support. Leave your HR to the experts so you can focus on what you do best.
It's the Business Brunch on Get Radio with a slightly unfamiliar voice in an unfamiliar territory this time on the radio, but thoroughly enjoying it. Hi, it's Rich here. I don't want to say grilling, Ben. It doesn't feel like a grilling. It feels like a wonderful conversation. Thompson and Terry Recruitment recently celebrated their 10-year anniversary. And to share, well, as Ben says, the knowledge and expertise of a local business and sharing stories about the journey of Thompson and Terry. We've already dealt with Ben's early beginnings and how the first few months and first few years of Thompson and Terry have been and some fascinating and interesting stories about that. I want to come on to successes. Just before we come on to successes, we'll deliver the bad news before the good news. Mistakes happen in business. And you say in a recent blog article that you wrote about this, that you feel that this, it wasn't a mistake, but it was difficult for something to run in line with it. I've been very loose with all of that, because this is very much your story. But tell us all about it, Ben.
Yeah, so I think from my point of view, I think that the big mistake that I think that I made, being really honest, is I think that imposter syndrome piece. So Mike and I got on really well. We ran the business well together. I think we are very different personalities for those who know Mike, Terry and I, but I think that we probably both made a mistake that I haven't mentioned in the blog quite early on, in terms of we set up the business with 500 quid in the bank. 500 quid was the budget. That's what the business was set up on. And we spent the £500 gradually, and then as the first fee came in, then we went and bought some more things, and we never had any finance along the way, so it was all very much organic. But I think as part of that, we didn't have a partnership agreement. We were 50-50 partners, and I think that there were a couple of points across the line where Mike and I just disagreed on just the most simple things. And actually, I think that with that in mind, I think that there was just probably starting to get to the point where we had slightly different visions in terms of our aspirations, how we wanted to grow the business. And I had a networking one-to-one, me being spontaneous, as you know, Rich, I came out of this. I rang Mike and I said, Mike, can we have a quick chat offsite? And I made an offer to buy the business. And that was that. And I think that off the back of that, we had just got to the point where we were starting to get lots of referrals coming in. We were starting to get the point where a lot of what we were doing was organic. And I think that I really felt that I had to stamp my mark. And I think that historically we'd always been very astute in terms of keeping costs down, really looking at where we're spending every pound, and really, really set to a business plan. And I think I rewrote the business plan completely. The values still stayed aligned, and what we were doing there was really, really important. But actually, we almost tripled our overheads within such a short period of time. We launched a graduate program, which was the real success, and maybe we'll talk about that later in the program. We really upped marketing. We started hiring different professionals to come and work with us, and to be honest, it absolutely flopped. It really did. And I think part of the reason for that is, I think if you look at it with hindsight, Mike and I were the two most experienced people in the business, and we were still very much working on the business in terms of bringing jobs on, looking after clients, filling jobs. And then suddenly 50% of that has left. And I think that the egotistical person in me at the time thought, actually, I'm the strength in the business. And I'm sure Mike would have said the same. But actually, in reality, I felt that we could do it. And I just don't think it was really fair on the team. I think that we were trying to, it was always a period of change. And yes, some really good things came out of that. But I think that my biggest advice in business all the time is absolutely keep on top of your costs, keep on top of margins, and really stick to a plan and have a strategy. And I think that was the point that I took my eye off that. And I think that, again, I probably made in my working career, I think that I've probably only ever really made one like really unethical call. And I looked at it and I thought, do you know what? I really regretted it. So again, a mate of mine ran a business. One of his staff members that I really rated, like I thought was really good. And I was quite good friends with her dad as well. So it was all kind of connected, approached me and said, Ben, I really want to work in recruitment. Would you employ me at Thompson & Terry? And this year I said, no, but I can help you. You know, I'm happy to give you the good, the bad and the ugly, but my advice would be to speak to your boss. Anyway, so she said, I don't want to do that before I know what recruitment's like. So I said, fine, yeah, I'll give you some advice. Anyway, so we were going through this conversation. And I thought, you know what? I would really love to employ her. And she was saying, oh, I'm going to walk around the corner and have a chat with Hayes. I'm going to chat to those. And I knew that they would employ her. And anyway, and she said, are you sure I can't? You wouldn't entertain Thompson & Terry. I said, do you know what? Yes, I probably would, but only if your boss was comfortable with it, because I don't want to tread on toes. He's a mate of mine, nice guy. Anyway, and she said, well, I am not really unhappy. I'm definitely going to leave, but I just don't want to, until I know that you're going to give me a job, I don't want to go and say to my boss, yeah, I'm going to go and apply for a job with Ben. And then I've ruined my chances there. And then you don't employ me. And I said, look, don't get me wrong. I will employ you if it's okay with your boss. And if you're definitely leaving, but I don't want to tread on toes. Anyway, and she said, okay, fine. I'll go and speak to my boss. And she did. And I totally get why he was fuming, because she was really honest with the conversation and it really looks like tapping up. And to this day, like, I've always regretted that. And I've always thought, do you know what? That was a really bad move. So I think from my point of view, there was that very short period where I really tried to be somebody that I wasn't. And I really tried to be the entrepreneur, the big business owner. And within probably 3 or 6 months, it all came, I say, tumbling down. I was very unfortunate. You know, we had good reserves in the business and, you know, we were able to adapt. But we went back down to a team of two within a very short period of time. Myself and Shannon, who was the first inductee on the graduate program. And I really, really feel that the following 3 months was the period where the biggest change happened to Thompson & Terry. We launched our graduate program. We got so aligned to our values, which we breathe every single day. We came up with a strategy for growth. We knew what wasn't the sensible thing to do in business, why we wanted to do business. And I think that from that point, I think we licked our wounds for 6 months to recover the costs. But at the same time, I think that is the point that I look back and I say, this was Thompson & Terry today. And I think that's where we built our real identity.
It's so fascinating. I'm just sat here just listening to it, because it's fascinating hearing the war stories and the battle scars that you have to have with running a business. And to be able to sit here and look back at them, and we're umbrellaing this in sort of mistakes and what have you, and just this area. And we will move on to the successes very, very soon. But to actually acknowledge them, to go through them, and to come out the other side. And it feels, just for me, and this is maybe a more personal thing than more of a business question, but it feels that you still harbor those scars, and you kind of, it feels like you still look at them as a little reminder of going forward about that kind of going, okay, remember that, because that will stay with me for a long time. As you've just mentioned, you know, here we are many, many years down the line after this situation. The way you tell the story, it still feels raw. It still feels like the wound is open. But that has made you and the business grow and be better and be more focused, because of having the knockbacks and the issues and being honest with yourself as well. It goes back to what we, you know, first started out when you were first beginning Thompson & Terry, that honesty. And if you can look yourself and be honest in the mirror as well, that helps with things going forward. Going forward as well, networking, a massive part of your life. And up to a point, I think it's fair to say, too big a part of your life.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. I think that networking has been one of, probably the second most enjoyable thing I've done since owning Thompson & Terry. And I'm sure we'll talk about the first later in the show, but I think that networking I absolutely loved. I hadn't really networked during my time in the previous radio station. And I really wish I had, and hindsight's a wonderful thing. But I think that for me, it really put a warm blanket of other business people that, as you put earlier in the show so brilliantly, who had the battle scars, who had a common interest, who we could share knowledge. And I think that I have always been quite a competitive person. And I think that I joined BNI quite early on, and they have league tables. So the amount of referrals, the amount of business you pass, the amount of visitors. And I was number one in the country for 2 years. And I was spending a day and a half a week on BNI. And yes, you know, it was our biggest revenue stream, full stop. We are getting referrals, but we're giving a huge amount. Like, I think at one point we got up to sort of £500,000 worth of business we had given. And that was a huge, times more of our turnover. Like, we're obsessed with it. Like, I was, every week I'd leave the meeting, I was like, how can I get everyone a referral? How can I get everyone? And I would just bash the phones. Like, I'd go back to, although I've never cold called within Thompson and Terry, but then I'd bash the phones. If anyone asked for a referral request, I'd try and get them in there. I'd pick up the phone, I'd say, I'm at a networking meeting, how can I get this person in? And I think I absolutely loved it. I was the president of the group, and it was a really big development thing. I used to hate public speaking, and it was a really big thing for me there. So I think that was an amazing experience. And also through my networking journey, I got to know Mike Foster, who used to co-host this show with us. And OBCN was a network that I loved and a network that I respected. And there was an opportunity to go into business with Mike, which we ran the business together. And I think we made quite a lot of changes. And again, I enjoyed OBCN in terms of I enjoy being a host. I enjoyed their values. Again, there's a big charity arm. But I think that for those who don't know, I took over OBCN for the final year of running the business. And being really, really honest, I absolutely hated it. And I think the reason I hated it wasn't because of the people. I think it was twofold. I think that I found it really stressful getting people into the room. I felt that I had become a salesperson again. And I think that I've gone full circle. I can't think of anything worse than a sales job now. But I also felt that, from my point of view, I felt that it was a huge percentage of my time. So I would spend 50% of my time on OBCN. I'd spend 50% of my time on Thompson and Terry, but Thompson and Terry would be 90% of revenue. And I think that I saw it as impacting Thompson and Terry. I saw that it was impacting the team. I felt that we were doing a great job of running the meetings, but Thompson and Terry wasn't really getting the benefit. And I think that I felt a little bit like a fraud in terms of to my family. I felt like a little bit of a fraud to the team at Thompson and Terry in terms of, was I really pulling my weight there? And get radio and James and yourself kindly took it over, and I know that you guys have done an amazing job with it. So I think that it was a huge weight on my shoulders because I didn't want to let down all of the hard work that Mike had done over 12 or 14 years. But at the same time, I think that sometimes in business, you look at something and you think, do you know what? Taking that business over was absolutely the wrong decision. And I really fell out of love with networking for a period. So I went to the big charity Christmas event with Gerald Ratner, which was amazing. I know we're both there. And do you know what? Although Gerald Ratner was brilliant, and although you and James did a great job of running the event, again, I just felt like I shouldn't be there. And I didn't go to a single networking event for 6 months after that. And partly because I had my daughter, Olivia. But I think that was part of the journey that I love socializing. You know, when you and I went to the Checkers and had a beer and the White House and those supper clubs, I really loved that. But I didn't like you haven't paid your 25 quid invoice, or, oh, actually, you've been to this event three times without being a member. And I think that really took away the love for me. And again, I think I learned from earlier on in the journey in terms of Thompson and Terry, when I bought from Mike Terry, lots of Mikes here. but I think I learned that actually when you realize you've made the wrong decision, I think I needed to fix it quickly, but within my values. That was the journey, really.
It's really, really fascinating to hear honesty, to hear kind of what's been happening with various different facets and people and business owners being honest with themselves. Is such a huge and great thing. And doing this, I want to move quickly on to the future and the successes, because there has been many and numerous But I really just want to say it's been a real fascinating listen for someone being so honest, who does have that integrity, who does have those battle scars and wears them so well, if I can say. It's just been really, really interesting. So I want to thank you, Ben, for that. That's a real, real interesting facet and interesting into Thompson and Terry, and also into Ben as well. We're going to be talking about all the successes and what the future might hold for Thompson and Terry recruitment very soon here on The Business Brunch.
The Business Brunch with Ben Thompson, sponsored by We Do HR Support. Leave your HR to the experts so you can focus on what you do best.
It's The Business Brunch on Get Radio with a slightly unfamiliar voice at this time. Anyway, it's Rich here, and we've been chatting to Ben Thompson because it's been an absolute milestone of a year for Thompson and Terry recruitment. 10 years in the game. We've had an amazing show so far, and I really genuinely mean that. I think I've got to know Ben better in the last 35, 40 minutes than I have done in the last 15 years, I think, they're probably knowing you. So it's been absolutely fascinating. We've chatted about Ben's early life, setting the business up, the first few months of how it was going. We've dealt with some of the kind of maybe mistakes and battle scars that you get from owning and running a business. But now we're devoting the time to the successes and the future of Thompson and Terry. And hey, there's been a fair few.
Yeah, so I think successes. I think for me, ironically, I don't think any of them are me in the nicest possible way. And I think that I had a couple of lovely people that have been on the show before saying that on the 10-year anniversary that I'm humble, and I don't think I am humble at all. I genuinely think that it's the truth. So I think the real successes, without a shadow of a doubt, really is the people. I think that I can hand on heart say that anyone that has walked through the door at Thompson and Terry, whether it be for 3 months and they've come and worked for us over the summer whilst deciding what they want to do, or whether we look at Aoife, who's been with us for 5 years, almost to the day. I think every single person that's come through the doors at Thompson and Terry has walked out better. And what I mean by better is that's in the eye of the beholder, but I think in their own eyes. So whether that be they've managed to build their CV, they've had a promotion, the thing that they really hated and was holding them back is that they were rubbish at public speaking, that they've gone and spoke at a networking event, or whether it be that they're actually really looking for a career in marketing and we've helped them to identify that and we've given them tangible experience on their CV. So I think that for me, I think that's the real success. And I think particularly Tara and Aoife that are in the team at the moment, so both had promotions, and I think both have turned into really rounded business people that I think both are probably, in all honesty, as good at recruitment, or in fact probably better than me, which I think is something that I don't deserve credit for, but I think is a massive thing that makes me smile at the end of the day. So I think that's a big thing. I think that the other thing which has been my baby, and you guys kindly worked with me on this. So Zara joined on the graduate program, and I think that back in the summer of 2018, I did some research, and I could only find 7 graduate programs advertised by SMEs in Oxfordshire, despite 98% of employees are employed by an SME, despite right. The fact that we've got 2 excellent universities, one of which is arguably the best in the world, only 7 graduate programs advertised by SMEs in Oxfordshire. Wow. And I'm a recruiter. And if I can only find 7, what chance do graduates have? So I wanted a client to go with it. Back then, nobody would. So I funded it. I created a graduate program designed for the SME, and I rolled it out, and Shannon joined on the first one, and Aoife and Cara have both joined in the same program. We've had Dan and Sam also and rolled out across a number of our clients, including you guys. And I think that the big thing there is it gave me so many ticks. So we've rolled it out 100 times now. So 100 graduates have come out of university, either A, unsure what they want to do, or B, are not getting a job because they don't have any experience, but outside a classroom. We have ticked some massive boxes there. But in addition to that, 100 employers have had really bright people come into their business and take away some of those hats that the business either didn't have the skills for, or absolutely hated. So in my business, you've touched on a blog that I've written. So I can absolutely write a blog, but it's something I don't really enjoy. So actually, by having really bright people that are great at writing, it was a thing for me. But actually, I know that a lot of the businesses we've placed, the owner isn't tech savvy, or they don't have a marketing department, or they don't have any finance support and need up to date financial information. And it's taken away those hats. And I can genuinely look back and say, do you know what? Of those 100 grads, you know, could I say that all of them have been there for 5 years? No, I couldn't. But could I say that all of them have improved themselves and added value to the business? Absolutely. And I think that that is a huge, huge, huge tick. There's definitely other things along the way. So, you know, it's been great to build, you know, relationships with Get Radio. And it's a relationship that, you know, we were sort of mates before. Like, we got on really well when we worked at the radio station, but probably seen each other once from working at the radio station to that. But I think that it's been lovely, some of the collaborations. I think that, you know, passing 500 grand in BNI days in terms of referrals. And I think that lots of volunteering stuff we did. So we did 180 business students based their first three assignments on Thompson and Terry. We still speak to a lot of them today that have learned stuff. And, you know, we've been up for awards of SME of the year. So like, there's been loads of braggy stuff. But I think the real thing for me that has been my massive success is the people, all about the people. And I think that I've just been so lucky to work with such talented people and being part of their journey, really.
No, 100%. And just to echo that as well, the fantastic work that Zara does here, who, as you say, has been a part of that graduate scheme, has been incredible, has been an absolute godsend for us here at Get Radio, and has thrown ourselves into absolutely anything. And I'll make her blush by saying, I will always remind her when I said, oh, you might need to do a traffic report at one stage. so that's a little one for Zara, who's absolutely smashes all of them, by the way. Ben, I wanted to touch on the future. Because this, sorry, I'm laughing because it's very specific. The 11-year business plan. I love that it's 11.
Yeah. So absolutely. So this isn't common knowledge at all. But I think once I mentioned one name, I think it will become very obvious. So one of the best people that I've met and class now as a really good friend through networking is a guy called James Butler. James has been on the radio show a couple of times and retired early. And being really, really honest, you know, growing up, I definitely didn't have a bad childhood, but at the same time, I think that, you know, my parents struggled at times, and I think they had to make sacrifices for me to have. And I think that, similar to James, I've always wanted to be financially free or independent or whatever. And I think that I've set the goal of retiring at 45, and I will definitely do some charity bits, and I would definitely keep my finger in. But I've set a goal, and I've been working on this since a conversation with James probably 5 years ago. I heavily invest into my pension, I build assets, and I think that that's been a big thing for me. I want to retire in 11 years, and that's what I'm working towards. But I think what drives me even more than that, which is going to have probably a bigger impact, is my exit strategy is not to sell a business. I do not want to sell the work that we've done to an investor or another recruitment firm and damage or potentially improve, but potentially damage the careers of my team. So my goal is to build a team, probably all through our graduate program, that will then in 11 years time own the business. And that's my exit. So my exit isn't about getting money out of Thompson and Terry. My exit is about building enough wealth over the next 11 years to be able to retire. And at that point, the team will take the business on the next journey. So we've got a structured 11-year business plan. 5 years in, we're still on track. In fact, we're probably slightly ahead of track, and that's the plan.
Wow. I'm sat here, and listeners to the Business Brunch who tune in week in, week out, and listen to Ben on the radio and sit here and ask the questions and listen to fantastic businesses across Oxfordshire from every corner of every upturned stone of business that you can imagine on the show. It has been genuinely fascinating this week hearing about Thompson and Terry Recruitment, but also hearing about Ben as well. It's been a real insight into the man behind the mic, the man that is the absolute flag bearer for the Business Brunch, the guy that devotes his time to doing this, as well as running a fantastic business as well. So the only way I can describe it is I've sat here for the last hour with a massive smile on my face, and I don't really have too much more to say other than that. I am going to throw this in. I'm well aware we are running for time, but you do this at the end of every show, so I'm definitely going to do it with you. We've got about 30 seconds. That's about it. So if you've got a top tip for anyone maybe looking into recruitment or maybe into exit strategy, I don't know, I'll let you carte blanche for giving a top tip. If you've got a top tip for someone, what would it be? You've got 20 seconds now.
Easy. Have a plan. Not having a plan is a plan to fail. So for me, whatever you want to achieve, just make sure you have a plan. And if you don't know what you want to achieve, really spend a good amount of time thinking about what is that you want to do? What can you define? And surround yourself with great people to be able to get there.
Well, we're definitely surrounded by a great person, a great host of the Business Brunch, and running Thompson and Terry Recruitment for 10 years. Congratulations to Ben Thompson. Well done. Ben, you know what's on next week's show then, don't you? This is not my normal role.
No, absolutely. And Rich, it's an opportunity. I know we're running out of time, but thanks so much for that, mate. I really, really appreciate it. And hopefully it was a good listen. So so next week, we're talking to two business people that are far more interesting and talented than me. So we're going to be talking about how you can use data in your business. And to do so, we're joined by Regina Jonas of Data Basics and also Priscilla Fung of Struck UK. And I'll go back to the normal bits, Rich. So finally, just a reminder that you can listen to this show on the radio and online every Sunday at 11 a.m. There is a podcast format which is available via all your favorite podcast format platforms, and is released on the Monday morning. And do look out for the video format on the Get Radio Facebook page and the website every Tuesday. But for now, enjoy the rest of your Sunday. I hope you enjoyed listening, and thanks to Rich, and I'll see you next week.